Matthew chapter 1. Comments or questions before we start? So as we look at this, Matthew chapter 1, of course it's the lineage, the justification to Joseph. Now, in a sense, it really wouldn't matter Joseph's lineage, would it? Because Jesus was not the son of Joseph. And yet God orchestrated and created that lineage, that line, that heritage. Because does it matter where you came from? Some say no, but think about it. What happened when you were growing up? What did you, let me ask it this way. How many of us learned some things growing up that we probably shouldn't have? All right. So our environment has an impact, doesn't it? So it matters who your parents are. We can't blame our parents for how we, you know, are today, because at some point we at least became mature enough to realize that it was up to us. Obviously, there are extreme circumstances and cases where it has a significant negative impact on a child as they grow up. And there are certain things that are in the genes. Now, see, that wouldn't matter with Jesus when it comes to Joseph, because Jesus didn't have Joseph's genes. But Joseph had his family's genes, which means that it impacted the way he parented. It impacted the way that he treated his wife. It impacted the way he worked in the community. It does matter where we came from. It has an impact. But at some point, we've got to mature enough to say, hey, if it's going to change, it's up to me. We can break those family patterns. We can be the, you know, at some point there was one that was the first to graduate high school and the first to graduate college and the first to do this or the first to do that. So along the line, there have been firsts. There have been people who broke out of where they came from. And so if that's something that you're hanging on to, well, I can't because my family, this is the way my family did it. Well, you can change it. And that's something that we need to know. But when it comes to Joseph, even though Joseph is not the father of Jesus, God saw the significance in making sure that his lineage was appropriate. And so in verse number 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and the significance of those two being Abraham was the father of what? Of all nations of faith, right? He was the friend of God. So the Jewish lineage, the Hebrew lineage that Jesus has, the significance is Abraham. What was it that was significant with Abraham? One more thing. Anybody? Okay, that was pretty impressive, wasn't it? But the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant that God gave to Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. So that Abrahamic covenant, when Abraham went up on, what was the name of that place he went up on? Mount Moriah. And that's the same as what? Temple Mount, Calvary. It's all right there. So up on that same place, the threshing floor, right? So all Uriah, not Uriah, what's his name? Ornan, yeah. The threshing floor of Ornan that David bought to do the sacrifice, that same significant place. And what did Abraham do there? He made a sacrifice of his son. He took Isaac and put him on the altar and would have taken his son's life, believing in the resurrection, believing in the promise of God. He told his servants that we go up and we'll return. And yet, as he was about to make that sacrifice, God said, hold on, I just wanted to see if you would. And so that covenant that God made with him, seeing his surrender, but the sacrifice of Isaac would have been. And then David, what was the significance of David? He was king. He wasn't the first king, right? But he was the king. And so we see that lineage. what would have happened, and I know that this is supposition and it's outside the box, but why, if David wasn't the first king, why is it significant? What happened to the first king? He disobeyed God. He disobeyed. And he usurped the authority of the priest, of the prophet. And so when he stepped into the wrong role, because it wasn't his role to take, God said, I'm done. And what was his name? Saul. So King Saul. Think about it. And I've said this before, and you can kick it around in your mind and understand. Saul, it would have been son of Saul instead of son of David. Okay, because Jonathan was next in line. And so you see the significance. And then you say, well, hold on a second. God knew that was going to happen, so it never could have been Saul. The point is this, is our actions impact our future. And not just our future, but history. You know, think about all these people and their decisions and their actions impacted the rest of the world. And it can impact your family. And your church, and your business, and your country. You know, by your actions, one man. One man. And so David, because Saul betrayed God or disobeyed God, David was anointed king. Abraham, verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac. We understood that, right? Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob begat Judah. And his brethren, Judah begat Phares. Y'all remember what happened with Phares? Anybody go back and look, or you just remember the name? He reached his arm out, and the nurse tied a band around his arm, and he pulled it back in. And the other, and say, hold on a second. So Phares was born, and it was, he was the breach. He broke forth. And then Esram and Aram and Minadab and Nason. Salmon, and Salmon begat, verse 5, Booz. Who's Booz? Boaz. And where was Boaz? Where was he? What town? Bethlehem. And remember the significance of that. So this significance, we're following this lineage, and there's Boaz. And he married who? Ruth. And then they had who? Obed, who had Jesse, and then Jesse begat David the king. And so remember the significance of that place. What was, Boaz had an enterprise, he had many things, but remember that sheep was one of those things, and gleaning in the field was how Ruth found Boaz, and he was a wealthy man. Do you remember the interesting part about that? Is where did Ruth come from? Moab, she was a Moabitess. She came back with her mother-in-law because her husband had died. Both their husbands had died. She came back with Naomi. And when they came back to their hometown that they left because of a famine, what did they find? Everything was fine. It was thriving. They ran away from a problem and went to a land and found problems. And if they would have just stayed. Now, I'm not saying it was the wrong thing. Obviously, Ruth came out of it. So we could say, you know, God worked all that to good, as he says in Romans 8:28. But, you know, God could have gotten Ruth to Bethlehem. So don't worry about that. But I always admire that Boaz stayed through the hard times, kept the city going, kept the family business going. And when they came back, he was the next of kin. Once he made an agreement with the one that was actually the next of kin at the gate. Remember that with the shoe. So David the king begat Solomon. And Solomon, Rehoboam, Abiah, Asa, Josaphat, Joram, Uzziah, Jotham, Achaz, Ezekias, Manasseh, Ammon, Josias, Jeconias. About that time they were carried away to Babylon. After they were brought, this is verse 12, they were brought to Babylon. Jeconias begat Salathiel, Zerubbabel, Abiud, Eliakim. Eliakim begat Azor. Verse 14, Sadok, Akim, Eliud, Eleazar, Matan, Jacob. Y'all practiced all those words, didn't you? Verse 16. And this is what I thought was neat. Did y'all see this in verse 16? Anybody else think that was cool? Jacob begat Joseph. Now see, when we go back in the lineage, we see Jacob begat Judah, because that was that family. But now we come all the way back in that significance of tying it back to Jacob, of Israel. Jacob begat Joseph, which we know, we just finished studying Genesis, that Jacob begat Joseph. So I just thought that was neat. The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So you notice the transition? How many of you notice the transition? Begat, 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 married. Right? Joseph didn't begat Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary. He married the right woman. And then he'll explain that here at the last part of the chapter. Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And Christ being not his name, but his title. Okay? He's the Messiah. He's the sent one. And so we'll see that. And somebody brought up at breakfast this morning that sometimes you will say Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. But that's a title. It's a role, if you will, the Messiah. And that's, so Christ is not his last name. Verse number 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon, 14 generations. From the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. So we see the extension of time. And yet this lineage was purposed, was chosen, was directed the whole time. You were not an accident. Your parents may not have planned you, but God designed you and established and appointed and planted. So we really need to understand that. When we talk about the march for life, the walk for life, and you think about how many children have been destroyed in the womb. And we have no idea the significance they may have served in history. We have no idea the significance that they would have served to the community, to the betterment of society. Because for whatever reason, and I know there are many different reasons, and I'm not insensitive to it. Guys, when we talk about abortion and the walk for life and saving the babies, we are looking at the mom, those young women and older women who find themselves in what they consider an impossible situation. And so we're not just saving one, we're saving two. Because those testimony, if you ever read testimonies of women who've had abortions and the regret that they have. I know when you see the ones in Hollywood, they're defiant. I'm glad I had one, and it's the best thing I ever did. Don't listen to those testimonies, because they're trying to have a political statement. You read the testimonies of the women who've regretted that decision, because those are way more honest as I see it. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So they're espoused. They're legally bound. But they have not come together. They're not living together. They have not consummated their vow. But they are bound by law as husband and wife. They are espoused. Now, that espousal, or what we consider an engagement, is usually a period of a year. And one of the reasons of that year is to make sure that she's not pregnant. You know, instead of having a shotgun wedding, as they call it, is a rushed in or forced, they make sure that year she hasn't had a baby, hadn't shown up to be pregnant, then she must be pure, is the mindset. But kind of worked against Joseph and Mary in this situation, didn't it? They were espoused to prove her purity, to prove her virginity. They waited the year to fulfill their vows, and she turns up pregnant. Well, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't Joseph's baby, which, as you can see in verse number 19, caused him a little trouble. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, what's another word for put her away? Divorce. And he said, well, I'll just settle this. You know how you're supposed to have a divorce in those days? You go to the public square where everybody could see. So it's basically the court. That's where they held court. And he would say, I divorce you, 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 I divorce you. That's it, all done. And did she have any rights? She had no rights. She can't divorce him. Only he could divorce her. She had no rights in the courts. And that's all he had to do. Now, by doing that, you can go back to the Old Testament and look at what the rules were in that. But now, where is she supposed to go? Well, she goes back home to mama, goes back home to daddy. And so there may be some agreement, some civil arrangement between daddy and the husband to settle up because he's sending his daughter back home. But that was how simple it was. And of course, you know that Moses came along and said, these are the rules. And then Jesus came along and said, y'all, that's not right. God said, I hate the putting away. Why does God hate divorce? Because it hurts people. Same reason God hates abortion. You know, I mean, the baby is not born, and so we don't see the consequences of that. But that mama's heart is broken. Her spirit is broken. Same thing happens in divorce. There's that loss and that recovery time. Divorce is a trauma. And I know some of you say, well, if you'd have seen my ex-wife, she was a trauma. Or my ex-husband, he was a trauma. I get it. I understand. But that's the reason God hates divorce, is because it hurts people. It's the same reason he hates all sin, because it hurts people. And I've had people say, well, I'm divorced. What am I supposed to do? God forgives everything, every sin. There's nothing we can't go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I repent, and he'll forgive our sin. And so don't let it weigh you down. Don't let it burden you down that you're divorced. But we've got to grow through it and develop and heal. And that's why God's against it. But Joseph said, well, I'll just privately go over here instead of going out in the public square and humiliating her in front of everybody. I'll just do it privately. So he thought about it. Verse 20. Why would he think about it? What was there to think about? He cared. He loved her. He didn't want to ruin this relationship. Even though he felt betrayed because he knew she was pregnant, he knew how that usually happens. And he said, I mean, what other explanation is there? It wasn't me, Joseph said. So it had to be somebody. But while he thought on this, right, he considered it, he deliberated on it. While he weighed his options and thought about it, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, verse 20, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And that, so the word Jesus, or the name Yeshua, means to deliver. For he shall save his people from their sins. So he's going to deliver them from their sins. So his name is Jesus. And so Joseph is considering this, and he has this dream, this vision, this visitation. And so now what's he going to do? Verse number 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. So wasn't that Joseph's concern? His concern wasn't that she was pregnant. His concern was how she got pregnant. That's what he felt betrayed about. But now that he understands that, number one, the confirmation that she is a virgin, and the confirmation that what is conceived in her is of God, the Holy Spirit. So this visitation from heaven explains to him every step, including the name. She shall bring forth the son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. So the, which being interpreted is God with us. So the name Yeshua or Joshua, in fact, we'll notice one time in the New Testament where the name Yeshua refers to Joshua, but it is written Jesus because it's the same name. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek or Aramaic. So that's the reason that the name Joshua or Yeshua, Old Testament is Joshua, New Testament is Jesus. So you'll actually see that used that way. Here, he's called Jesus in verse number 21. And then in verse 23, it refers back to what book of the Old Testament? Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So to deliver and God with us. And that's the, so Joseph what? He must have had some information. He must have been a student of Scripture. So that when these things were said, they were confirmation to him. He didn't have to go look it up and say, oh, I wonder what he's talking about. Where'd that come from? And so he was a student of Scripture. And when the announcement was made, he was able to look at those things, but he had the confirmation, and he knew. But how many of us, when we look at the prophecy of the Old Testament, or now in the New Testament, how many of us put ourselves in it? Do you see yourself in any prophecy in the Bible? You think Joseph saw himself in any prophecy of the Bible? When he met Mary, you think, hey, she's the one that's going to be here. It was mind-blowing. It's shocking. But to understand that the people of the Bible are, they're normal people. They're people like us. And I know that we see ourselves in the Scripture, you know, whosoever believeth in him, or all, you know, all those verses. And then we look at those which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Well, we may be in that one there. And Jesus said, I pray not only for these, but those who will believe. And so that's including us. So we see ourselves in the Bible, but to think that we would be part of a significant event. How shocking. For Joseph to realize, oh, that's me. I'm in the middle of this. And maybe he's like, how did I get in the middle of this? But it's a significant role. Verse 24, then Joseph being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. And I would have loved to see the narrative of that conversation. Had he told Mary, I mean, you know, obviously Mary told him, hey, I'm pregnant. Let me tell you what happened. An angel came to me and said I was going to be pregnant, and the Holy Spirit was going to put a baby in me. And Joseph said, think I could have come up with a better story than that. And so then he starts figuring out, I got to get away from her. I got to figure out a way to divorce her. And so he's trying to figure it out. He's working on it. And then the angel comes to him and says, hey, what she said was true. And let me give you the rest of the details. And you're in the middle of this. And then he goes back to her and tells her, I believe you. Not only I've heard your story about when Gabriel came to see you, let me tell you my story of who came to see me last night. And so now they've got this thing in common that God has come to them. And they're able to come together and continue in their relationship. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And he took unto him his wife. Now, why were they espoused but hadn't fulfilled or consummated their marriage vows? To prove her purity? But now her purity has been confirmed with heaven. And so there's nothing to prove. So he did take unto him his wife. They're able to live together now. But, verse 25, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. So though they were now officially married and come together, they never consummated in a physical, sexual way their marriage until after Jesus was born. Now, for those of you who understand the difference physically, the evidence of a virgin versus a non-virgin, you say, well, how can you deliver a baby and still be a virgin? Because with God, all things are possible. If God can put a baby in there without her knowing a man, then he can certainly heal the membranes after she delivers a baby. So all of this comes together. But the point of the lesson, especially with all of the lineage, is to see that God's hand was in this from the beginning. It wasn't that he was sitting in heaven one day and said, let me choose somebody to be the mother of my son. And he looked around and he said, hey, there's one. She's a good one. No. It was significant who the lineage was for Joseph and for Mary. So God was working all this out, and he had a plan all along. And he worked through them to get to this point where Jesus is born. Comments, questions? Brother Andy. Luke. There you go. So it follows through to the same lineage until David, and then takes a, you know, just shifts over one. Which, and to understand something in those cultures, even today in the Middle East, they still marry close family members, you know, cousins, such as that, because it keeps it in their clique or their tribe or their clan, and so it keeps them, their network tight. Good, thank you. Others? All right, take a break.